Hello everyone, welcome to the service. Today on Mother's Day we would normally be at church giving out flowers, but even though we can't do that today, I just want to say Happy Mother's Day and to bless all of our mums and carers and grandmas and those of you who care for children, and hope that you'll be able to connect to your loved ones today through a phone call or a Zoom or even a wave at the window. Today Tony is going to bring the message about bearing one another's burdens. The scripture from Galatians 6 will be read by Lewis, and Lynn and Christine will be giving us testimonies of how they have been supported by family and friends as they have been burdened, and how God has lifted their burdens. As we start, let's pray together. In Matthew 11 we read, "Are you weary, carrying a heavy burden? Then come to me, I will refresh your life, for I am your oasis. Simply join your life with mine, learn my ways, and you will discover that I am gentle, humble, easy to please. You will find refreshment and rest in me, for all that I require of you will be pleasant and easy to bear." Lord, as we think about having our burdens lifted, draw us close to you. Open our ears to hear your voice and heal us. Bless each of us as we come now to worship you. Amen.
What's been lost, and he'll give back what's been taken. He will give sight to the blind, He will give strength to the weak, and He will care for the broken. He knows your deepest need, and there is mercy to meet all of your deepest longings. A taste of heaven on earth, now freely given to us, the Father's glory.
Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for the light and hope you have placed in our hearts. We thank you that you have made your character known through Christ as he lived fully in this world with all of its beauty and brilliance, as well as its sorrow and pain, enacting your kingdom through his life, death, and resurrection. We thank you for and marvel at his goodness and kindness and determination to seek the lost and bind up the brokenhearted. Thank you for the justice that he both proclaimed and participated in. Lord, help us to want to live like him and to care about others more than we do ourselves. Let us see people the way you do, honouring you by honouring them as we seek to discover and then carry one another's burdens. Help us to make time to care, giving us the energy to do so from your limitless resources, but also giving us the wisdom to know when we should not become involved or when and how to lovingly withdraw from a situation. More than anything, we want to learn to move in your flow so that your interests become our interests. May we attend to these with less anxiety and more joy, doing all things with thanks to you, with gratitude for your revelation and sacrifice, and wonder at the majesty of your creation and our part in it. We now bring to mind people we care about from inside and outside our church family, who have particular needs at this moment. We pray that we could, wherever possible, be the answer to the prayers we pray, as we think of ways we can serve and support each other. In these times, when relationships can be hard to maintain and even more difficult to create, guide us to those who need our help the most, for whom we can really make a difference. Help us to be patient and loving in all our interactions. At this time, we remember particularly those with health concerns. Kate, Joyce, Ian, Sarah Jane, Alice, Helen's sister, Amy's mum, little Freddie, and Sarah, Jean's niece. For all those whose names appear for prayer in our bulletin, there will be many others who we know are also in need of our prayers and of physical and emotional help. We pause now to remember them. As we turn our attention to COVID-19 and the world's response to it, we thank you that the vaccination program is going well in this country and that all the measures of illness are improving. We pray that this continues and that the slow return to normal life does not cause significant increases in case numbers. Help the country to react swiftly and appropriately to any observed increases. We also remember all the other vaccination campaigns around the world that are just as necessary but are often much less well resourced than our own. Help us as individuals and as a nation to be generous. We pray for Brazil, which is suffering really high numbers of daily deaths at the moment due to an extremely transmissible variant. We pray that the vaccine will be effective against this variant so that the numbers of deaths rapidly fall in Brazil. We remember those who have lost loved ones or who are suffering from physical or mental health conditions, from financial impact, or from disruption to education. We pray against the strain that all of these can place on relationships in our homes and lives. We pray that the impact of the disruption could be increasingly borne according to people's ability to bear it. We pray for the will of those who can influence policy and social direction to be more than ever before for the common good, so that the already disadvantaged are given special concern and protection. May this world-shaking event we are living through be accompanied by new ways of being which promote justice, reduce inequality, and protect the planet. Thank you, Lord, that your will has always been and always will be for the good of all, and assure us that contrary to what we see, it is possible to flourish without it being at the expense of another. I will now say the prayer that Jesus gave to his disciples when they asked him, "Lord, how shall we pray?" Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
When we first went into lockdown, I had to care and keep my husband safe. Easy, I thought. We will just stay in. Then we had to think about all the problems. My daughter, who lives at home, is a key worker and went to work each day. She was terrified she brought COVID to us. When she came home, she went straight to her room, coming down only to make her dinner when we were not in the same room. She also did shopping for us. She is such a help. When Alan falls, could I still call on my neighbours to help pick him up? We had always seen our grandchildren weekly. They live in Yorkshire. Like others, we are really missing them. As Alan deteriorates, time is very precious. Sleepless nights, sometimes only 2 hours, makes things seem worse. We have been blessed by technology and friends. I have learned how to use Zoom so we can keep in touch with our other daughter, son-in-law and grandchildren. My parish nursing work has kept me going, and I feel privileged to have met so many people. I have wonderful support and prayers day and night from the parish nursing team. House group has continued on Zoom, and I enjoy a weekly Zoom meeting with retired work colleagues. Texts from family and friends also help. My quiet time with God is an important start to my day. I read that the world can create trouble in peace, but I like to remember God can create peace in trouble. All in all, I am blessed, and we can still live, laugh, and love.
Right. My name is Vera, and I'm reading this morning from Galatians chapter 6 and the first 6 verses. Doing good to all. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in sin, you live by the Spirit, should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor.
Christine has asked me to read her testimony to you this morning. And she says, "As many of you will know, I have had health issues over the last year and have been in much pain. I was diagnosed with Parkinson's and then a couple of weeks later, rheumatoid arthritis, which led to a claw hand. As a result of much prayer by many of you, I have felt so much peace and strength, which has been beyond imagination. However, just before Christmas, I suddenly hit a wall. It simply began when I had difficulty doing things due to my hand, like not being able to wrap my presents or write my cards. I felt discouraged and ended up looking at the things I couldn't do and thinking about the rotten year I've had health-wise, much of the time alone. I was fragile, emotional, and finding it difficult to pray and read my Bible, but I persevered. A few days later, my reading took me to God's promise of unfailing love and refuge. I was struggling to see God, but suddenly I was reminded of a situation in Colombia whilst I was living and working there for 2 years. I was feeling down as I struggled with the language and missed the green countryside and sandy beaches of home. My devotions seemed empty and God seemed to have deserted me. On top of that, I was leading the girls' Bible study the next day, and no matter how I prayed and sought God, it was not coming together. The next morning, when I opened my curtains, instead of being greeted by blue skies and sunshine and a view of the Andes mountain range in the distance, my daily morning joy, I saw low cloud and couldn't see beyond the courtyard. My first thought was, well, that's just typical. But in an instant, I heard an almost audible voice saying, just because you can't see the mountains, it doesn't mean they aren't there. Just because you can't see me, it doesn't mean I'm not there. I am with you always. I am faithful and my promises are true. I wept with a mixture of shame at the negativity I'd allowed to knock at my door, and joy that God cared enough to speak to me so visually by changing the weather. I was overwhelmed at the powerful lesson that I have not forgotten. A very powerful girls' Bible study went ahead. And so just before Christmas, as I read my daily reading of God's promises and unfailing love, I knew that the God who was with me in Colombia is still with me, regardless of my emotional or spiritual state. I know for many this year has been difficult as we face uncertainties, but when things are difficult, please don't look at the circumstances, look at him and trust him, even when you feel he isn't there. God is the same yesterday, today and forever.
Should I fall? Good morning. My name is Tony Ruddle and I'm one of the members of Whitley Bay Baptist Church. In 1979, I lived in Essex and the Grays Building Society suddenly collapsed into bankruptcy, a bit like Northern Rock. The other building societies, called friendly societies at that time, had a dilemma. Do nothing, and who would ever trust them again? But how to use their own investors' money without scandal? Their solution was to form a fund to protect all investors. And the first helped were those of the Greys. They did not abandon it as a bad risk, but evidenced their care, and as a byproduct, so kept their good name. The Brownlee brothers in the UK are synonymous with triathlons, and I knew quite a lot about them when I lived in Leeds. And I can never forget the image of Johnny Brownlee literally running to a halt whilst leading the final race of 2016. Johnny was leading, winning when he ran out of steam, and his brother Alistair in second place could run past him and win. But instead he stopped to support his brother across the finishing line while others passed them, literally in love, carrying the burden of his brother's need. And that phrase, bear one another's burdens, in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfil the law of Christ. Sounds like a truly noble calling, and it is. But what are the criteria for bearing one another's burdens? What things qualify us as burdens? And are there limits to the burdens we should bear? After all, when we skip down to verse 5 of the same chapter, it says, for each will have to bear his own load. Each one of us has individual responsibilities or loads, and each of us also has burdens that we could use some additional help with and support from others to bear. Christian love must not be a matter of words or talk. It must be genuine and show itself in action. The truth is, the love of God in us will find no outlet unless first there is an admission of need. The wonderful fact of becoming a Christian, being in Christ, is we not only gain a share in Christ's love, salvation, we gain a place to belong, a part in the body, the church. A fundamental aspect of belonging to that fellowship is bearing one another's burdens. There is an assumption, a recognition in Scripture, that we will at some time experience burdens, and the Lord does not want us to carry them alone. Some, however, try to. They think it is a sign of fortitude not to bother others with their burdens. It seems to me that that kind of sign of strength is more stoical than Christian. Others remind us of Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. And that Jesus himself said, come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. That our divine burden bearer is more than adequate, and he is. But it is a sign of weakness to require any human help, they say. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Yes, he cares for you, but one of the ways is through his people. And Paul was one of the most resilient apostles, and yet he was never afraid to admit his weaknesses. Romans 7 spells out his struggle with the warring parts of his human nature in his spiritual life, his failure in resisting temptation. He admits to his frustration and need by being repeatedly bugged by a thorn in the flesh until God shared with him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul says, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. To know his weakness had a great purpose. Later, when battered and bruised by his latest missionary journey, he writes to the Corinthians how he felt when he first got there. I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling. And then he shares how desperate things became. We don't want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope, that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Once, when heavily burdened and anxious about the church in Corinth, having written them a particularly severe letter, he was deeply concerned about their reaction to it. He could not rest, the suspense was so great. For when we came into Macedonia, we had no rest, but we were harassed at every turn. Conflicts on the outside, fears within. But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not only by his coming, but also by the comfort you had given him. He told us about your longing for me, your deep sorrow, your ardent concern for me, so that my joy was greater than ever. God's comfort did not come simply in a prayer or waiting on God, but through his friend and their messenger, their desire for love to continue between them. We are a gift of God to one another. Burden sharing leads to burden bearing, and this is our ministry together. Why is this? It is to fulfill the law of Christ. It reveals that to love one another as Christ loved us may not lead to some supernatural deed of self-sacrifice, but to the much more mundane and unspectacular ministry of burden bearing. Mrs. Lee was 70 plus, and I found her one day in floods of tears. The doctor had just left, she explained. I have a leg ulcer, she said, that is not responding to treatment. And Joe Blunt, the doctor, has just told me that I'm going to lose my leg. She had no one. Her only friend was over 80. How on earth would she manage? She had forgotten she was a member of the family of God. What could we offer but love in practice? We persuaded her to set aside her independent spirit and actually rest her leg. Different people from the church did her shopping. Every day her friend stayed with her through the afternoon. She was also a church member. And early evening through for company. We discovered and then suggested to the district nurse a new kind of dressing. And she managed to get the doctor to agree to try it. You know what? The leg completely recovered. The physical burden was lifted. The mental burden was lifted daily in prayer, and she was provided for. The emotional burden was shared in the companionship of her friend, and as she put her trust in what God could do, the relief of heart and mind brought restoration to the body. And this was not just our testimony, but that of the district nurse, who was not a Christian, unwittingly saying to one of our church members, "These kind of leg ulcers don't heal. Only love made the difference." "By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples," Jesus said, "if you love one another." So to fool the love of Christ is costly business, but it has its own rewards. We must be ready to get alongside others and share the burden, and be humble enough to let others share ours, to let them help carry the load. The Good News Bible illustration of this verse actually captures the scene. There is no hint in that we should take the load off. We are not in fellowship to encourage one another to give up. If you help a butterfly out of its cocoon, you leave it irreparably weakened. Often, when you take the whole burden off someone, they lose self-respect. They can even think you believe them incapable and lose heart. This is why there is no contradiction between verses 2 and 5 of Galatians 6. In verse 2, baros means a weight of heavy load. And in verse 5, fortion is the common term for a backpack. We are to help one another carrying that which is too heavy for one alone. But there are also things in our lives that we simply cannot bear alone. Part of being a member of the family of Christ is sharing in one another's burdens, and to do so is a mutual blessing. Bearing one another's burdens looks a lot like coming alongside for support. If we know of a fellow believer who is struggling with a difficult situation, we can help to bear their burden by helping to relieve some of the weight they are experiencing related to their situation. If someone recently lost a job, we might buy them some groceries to help relieve the financial stress, or connect them with a promising job opportunity at their own place of employment. If we know someone is struggling with a particular sin issue, we may offer to come alongside them with spiritual encouragement and accountability. Bearing one another's burdens is compassion in action. Not only do we feel bad about one another's burdens, we do what we can to help. However, there is a burden we cannot share, our own responsibility to God. For example, if my car breaks down, a friend can help take the children to school, but he can never assume the responsibility of being their father. That is mine alone. It is a burden and a privilege that is solely mine. I belong to the Father. There's one other aspect about restoring a brother or sister. All through this passage, Paul is making a point against those who add to the burdens of others, the legalistic type of person. This was the sin of the Pharisees, as Jesus so potently illustrated. They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. The legalist tends to be harder on others than himself. It is so much easier to say, "Serves him right," than to set him right. But the Lord calls for us to have just such a spirit of gentleness as in the fruit of the Spirit. Paul then goes on to suggest the situation. If someone slips up, just as you would help someone who fell over in the street, so it is in the spiritual and moral realm. The Pharisees dragged a woman caught in the act of adultery before Jesus. No gentleness, no desire for restoration, only the death penalty. Where was the man they caught her with? Jesus turned the situation into an opportunity for what he wrote in the sand, because it caused every man to recognise his own condition in sin and slink away. So if you think you are something when you are really nothing, says Paul, you are only deceiving yourself. You should each judge your own conduct. If it is good, then you can be proud of what you yourself have done without having to compare it with what someone else has done. The legalist will condemn and then use the other person to make themselves look good. The spiritual person would seek the truth and then restoration, a bit of TLC for the wounded in battle. For the Christian who falls may have just come from a bruising encounter. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings, and the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm and steadfast. How often have you heard of the church using Jesus' instructions to restore and reconcile? The purpose is always winning your brother or sister back. The legalist is not interested in the soul winning. He will just go around telling everyone the sad news so you can pray about it more intelligently, and then follows it up with the condemnation that they were not more spiritual. It's no better than a poison pen letter that contaminates everyone. What a joy it is when someone hears what you have to say. And great, if not the knowledge is only widened to two others and another attempt is made in private. It's the circle of knowledge that's so important with these things. Only after every effort is made does it become public for discipline. But the context Jesus put this in was the church at prayer. Forgive us this day as we forgive others, as we have been forgiven. The church that practiced forgiveness illustrates what Jesus wants, and it's so totally unlike the unmerciful servant. It's only then that discipline can be effective, because it could be you or me next time. I remember being on the Norfolk Broads and coming out of the lee of an island in high winds, and managed okay until a motor launch surged past and the combination of wave and wind was too hard to handle. I capsized. It was a new experience, as I had yet to learn how to right myself in that particular canoe. I did not know how to get the canoe upside down, but getting the canoe back to base was a long way back. Then two of my companions came across and formed a bridge around the upturned canoe, got it the right way up, emptied it of water, and I climbed over the stern and back in, and off we went home. I have never forgotten that as a picture of true burden bearing. May this bless you today and encourage you in love of one another as you bear one another's burdens.
As we come to the end of our service, I'd just like to give a big thank you to everyone who's contributed. Let's pray together. Lord God, we rejoice in your greatness and power, your gentleness and your love. Enable us by your Spirit to honour you in our thoughts and words and actions. Send us out with confidence in your word, so we might bring glory to your name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.